Ramanshir, October 26th.
Okay. All right, we're finishing up this Shekel Kvar Noida. He spoke about the four Yesoides, about Eish, Ruach, Mayim, and Ofor. And he said that the word Choshech is the Eish HaYesoidi. In other words, the invisible, that's the word Choshech, right? The word Choshech means something that can't be seen, that's dark. When it comes to the property of light, so dark means it's missing that property. It doesn't have light. But, you know, the scientists talk about dark matter. Dark matter means matter, except it's missing. It doesn't give out, doesn't radiate light. What is this matter? So, Ukvar Noida ki ha Yesoides arbo miksha achas. The four Yesoides come from one single fundamental Yesoid. It's Mishur Achas, it means it's one material. Like it says about the Menorah, you know, there's many parts. There's Gviyim, Kaftorim, Prochim, Konim, and so on. Neiros, all that. Mishur Achas, the different forms and shape drawn out from a single block of elementary material. So there's the Zohov, and all that is drawn and shaped into different forms. It's very easy to understand. And if we have a Yesoid called Oretz, good, but that's the elementary Oretz, and this elementary Oretz is now drawn into different Yesoides that come out from it. These four Yesoides are really from the same earlier Yesoid, which is called Oretz. Okay? I think it should be self-explanatory. We went to that. We have Omet Shalom. So Omet Shalom means the basic material on which everything else is built. Hu Igul Horet, that's the sphere of the world, right? The spherical shape of the world that we're on, the planet Earth. I already explained to you how the ancients knew, not just knew, but saw with their eyes, and you could see the same thing. How the world is spherically shaped. Okay? It's not flat, it's not shaped like a cylinder. Or anything else for that matter. They're shaped like a sphere. And that we could simply see with our own eyes. I told you that. When you see the shadow of the earth pass by, as there's a lunar eclipse, you see the spherical curve. Anytime the moon gets covered, it always has the same exact spherical shape. And the little deviation from a sphere is too small to be noticed with the naked eye. But what you see is that circular spherical curve all the time.
I mean, how do you know it was a shadow?
What?
How do you know it was a shadow or something else?
You could calculate easily when the node will come, when the path of the earth will cross the position of the moon. And it happens precisely when you see it.
How come they never figured that out before? Scientists, they always thought the world was flat.
There's a lot of fairy tales that creep into the books that you read. The scientists did not think the world was flat. The Hamoy Nam had stories of dragons and the world was like this, and the world is like that. There was never any such. People knew the world was spherical long millennia before Columbus. They wrote about it, they calculated it, they pictured it, but like I said, you could see it with your own. You don't have to be too smart to figure it out. The ancients knew all that. The fact that there were some ignorant people who thought the world was flat, there's always ignorant people who think things. And they make life more exciting. But they're not scientists. There were no scientists who thought that. In fact, I could show you in just simple arithmetic, how you could calculate the size of the world. Mamish, exactly. How, by standing on one spot and measuring some simple measurement, you understand? It's these things are so simple, it doesn't take any advanced mathematics to figure them out. If you stand on the seashore and the ship starts traveling away from you, right, in a straight line, fairly much in a straight line, it maintains, you know, there's a man on top with a flag, you could take a look, and as the ship goes and goes, you see the ship gets lower and lower, yeah, in the sea until it reaches a point where the guy on the top with the flag disappears. Okay? You could measure the distance between where you are and the ship is. Ah, how do you measure that distance? Right? Without having a computer and a calculator. You don't need these instruments. You just need them to speed calculations up. But if you take 2 points, right, and you're here and your friend is, no, a mile or two or three down, you know the exact distance, measure it with a tape measure. Okay? And you know, you could measure the angle, create a simple triangle, the 2 points plus the ship, and you know the distance between these 2 points, and you calculate the angles with a simple protractor, or a better model, of course, that will give you more precise measurements. So you got your triangle. Okay? A little basic elementary trigonometry, you got the distance. Once you have the distance, which they all knew how to do it, you just determine another triangle, which is from where you are to the center of the earth, and from where that ship is to the center of the earth. And with that distance,
you know the center of the earth.
How do you know the center of the earth? Because the earth is a sphere. The earth has a center. The sphere has a center. Okay? This is stuff that, you know, when you sit and you listen to the fairy tales of how the people used to believe, they weren't primitive people. They present Shas to us with Rishonim and Achronim, and their intellect was far superior than the stuff that we're so familiar with. So a lot of times it feels confident to talk it into ourselves that we're very, very superior. But you take a look in the Ramban, for instance. So you have one line or 2 lines, you realize that, right, this yid was way up there, and you didn't complete yet the first grade, you mean, in relation to the Gdolei Olam. Okay. Omet Shalohu Eagle Oretz, the sphere of the earth, Hamayim Makifa Nessa Oretz, and all this water all over. Of course, the earth comes out of the water, right? Yikovu Hamayim El Mokha Mechad, Vesero Eha Yavosho. We just learned that a short time ago. So the water is centered, right? But there was a time when the water covered the whole sphere of the earth, right? That's what it says in the Torah. Right? So before you read the books about the movement of the continents, but there was a time where the water covered everything, and then it was just a simple sphere with water on the top. Okay.
This is the
Mishra Achas. Yeah, we're now studying the Miksha Achas. The Eagle Horez, Mayim Makifim El Horez, water on top, before it was separated, like the Pasuk says. So Avir Makapal HaMayim, right? The Ruach Elokim, that's the Avir, the wind of Hashem. Makapal HaMayim, for Eish, Makapal HaAvir. Okay, on top of that is the Eish, that's the darkness, which has nothing that can be seen, matter that could be felt with the fingers, and too far away from it too, but even if we get a spaceship and we go up there, there's very little that we could feel, but in the space is filled with constant pulsating, flowing energy. Right? Everybody knows that. It's simple. Right now, take a little instrument and you could measure energy coming from the stars. It appears on, yeah, it makes sounds, it makes lines, it makes all kinds of things. You could receive any, have a nice antenna and you could get all kinds of rays coming from all over the place. Well, they come to us from outer space, inner space, and what do? They pass through all that space outside of us. So all that dark emptiness is filled with energy. No, all these rays, we could pick them up and we could hear them. We set a dial and you'll hear sounds and you could read them if you have the right receivers. This is stuff that everybody knows about. Okay? Let me finish the paragraph. Right, that it says v'ho'oretz. You ready? V'ho'oretz hoiso. Well, okay, now the oretz is moving in its expansion and creation. First, tohu. Okay, that's the elementary material without occupying any space. Then bohu. Then there's matter that already could be felt and measured. And then v'choshech, al p'nei sahoim, that's the next thing. V'choyu ha'esh, which is the choshech, makif l'maylo al ha'mayim v'ho'ofer ha'murovim, that's what sahoim is, where the water meets the earth beneath, so it's the mixture of water and earth. V'horuach min ha'sheves, and the wind blowing on top of it, v'tikones b'choshech, v'tirachif al ha'mayim. Below it is the mayim, that's the ruach, and above it is the choshech. Okay, the yiroel isha nakuda hazois below shahatzura v'hoisa boyu. Right, the nakuda is called toyu. Remember, we spoke about that. And it, when it begins to take shape, and it has a tzura, it's boyu. Boyu in it is it. He shachachom karamaisa even shesia. Right. Shemimeno nishtas ho'olam. That's what Chazal tells us. Chazal says that why is the Beis Hamikdash called Heaven Shesia? Because everything is placed upon the Beis Hamikdash. The word shos means to place. Right? Everybody knows. We saw the word shos. What does it say? Shos. Shos, dos, vos. No? The word says. Huh? What? Okay, but the word dos alone, eish, dos, lomoy, shos, shos lilakim zer achir tachas hevel ki harog hakoyin. And where does it say vos? Huh? If you listened well to Kriyas HaTorah this past Shabbos, ein mizeh vos, v'onos elechi. Okay, good. You keep your ears open, you learn a lot. Good. Hine shir haksuvim. So what's the pasuk? What? That's what the pasuk describes. The oretz hoisa toyu. What's the oretz? The expansion, the development of the oretz, which right, comes from that nekuda that you saw it first, toyu. Then boy who, right? And then the four yesoides, v'choshech, al p'nei sahoim, on the bottom, and the ruach in the middle, the ruach nichnas bein ha'choshech on top, the energy world, black, dark, and tahoim on the bottom. Mayim, all four. Ruach, so you've got your four yesoides. Okay? We call it the four states of, three states of matter. Fourth of energy, I mean, that's the state of matter. We use different words to describe it. So, Shir HaKsuvim, Betchila Bor Lekim, Me'ayin from nothing, Es HaShemayim, Uvora Me'ayin, Es HaOretz, the two things. The HaOretz, Behi Bora, when it experienced the Bora, right? Creation's border, the border when it was created. Hoisa soyu, and then hoisa boyu, and then uvahem. Now it's moving in a rapid, tremendous expansion. The moment of creation. Choshech umayim ba'ofar v'ruach neshavet alamayim. There you got it. V'nei hakol nivra v'nase. Okay, so the Yesoides are all laid out right there. Okay? V'somach ha'ruach l'lakim. Why does it say v'ruach l'lakim? Of the four Yesoides, why is the one ruach, which is the third, going upwards, right? Or the second going downwards. Why is that ruach l'lakim? V'avur shehidaka mikulam. Right? U'lamayla mehem. It's above everything. Rak shehi merachef es al pnei hamoyim. Right?
What's daka mikulam?
Daka mikulam means it's thin, weightless.
What about Eish?
Oh, good. Why is there no avir on any of the planets? There's no atmosphere. Right? There's no atmosphere because there's no gravity to hold the atmosphere. Why is it?
There's no gravity out of planets.
There's a thick, heavy atmosphere in Jupiter and Saturn because there's so much gravity. There's so much atmosphere. What's the perfect mix of gases that stands above the Earth? The gravity is just enough to hold it from going away. Right? There's not too much that holds all the other gases, so we have that beautiful, wonderful, marvelous gas which we be able to breathe in, right? Goes inside of our lungs and dispenses that life-giving oxygen and does a million things that are beyond the our ability to marvel at. It's right over there, ruach. Because the darkness mikulam, really, it would flow away. The darkness, the choshech, would never flow away, right? Outer space can't disappear. The energy-laden, dark emptiness that's above everything. Okay? But it's the ruach, which is floating there and balanced between the solid tahoin and the... Okay? Well, the ma'alam ayin. Which is, it's mamash nisim v'floyes. I mean, scientists calculated, and I read these calculations years ago, and you stand and you marvel. And, we had people go up there in spaceships, walked around space itself, on a platform, or in the moon, or... But if we have precisely the right speed, rotation, gravity, mixture of gases exactly, and that supports everything.
Rabban said before, Eish makir al avir.
Uh-huh.
He says on top, so how come the avir is all of a sudden on top?
No. The avir, like I said, the avir is the highest of...
Floating.
It's floating. The Eish is not floating. It's filling everything. Everything is there.
So why does he use the Lashon of makir?
It's endless. Because the Eish...
Not surrounding the
Avir,
it's
a, well, but it's endless because it fills space completely. Whereas the Avir is our Avir, and it's just there. So as far as the Eish is makif, but the Avir is the lightest and outermost part of the planet Earth itself. Okay? V'yem tevakesh b'riyel o'malochem she'enem guf. Ah, Chazal searched for remnants for the creation of Malachim. Okay? Well, in his parents have a Torah. The Torah of him. The Torah of Chazal should never be Yom Sheni. Why? Shaloi Toimer. Because if it was never be Yom Rishon and the Malachim existed in the day of all these Briyas taking place, so you would say, Shasiyu, that they helped the Briyas Oilam. So therefore, the creation of Malachim was delayed till after the Briyas Oilam was complete. And all the Sisoides were there, and now the Malachim could be made to appear. This next paragraph, Shabbosai, you'll be moich if I don't explain it fully. the word Bereshis, V'lom Eloi Hiktim Loimer Elokim Bara Bereshis, which is what they did for the translation of the Targum HaShivan, they put Elokim Bara Bereshis. He created this initial elemental Bria called Bereshis. Teidak Yaldercha Emes HaKosov Yagid B'Tachtoinim. The Pasuk speaks of Tachtoinim, means things that we could define and describe and experience. The Tirmois, the Yirmois Beldyonim. But it also hints to the upper levels of the Bria, the Olamos Odyonim. What do they mean? Umilas Bereshis Tirmois Bechokhma. Which is, by the way, what the Targum says. Right? I'll look in. Right? But I'll. Bereshis. Targum Yerushalmi. Bereshis. Bechokhma Bor Hashem. That's called Chokhma. And the Ramban says that Chokhma doesn't refer to the typical wisdom that we're familiar with. Right? You figure out certain things and you know it. So it took a certain process called Chokhma. What we're referring to is Soid called Chokhma. Shehi Reshis Arosha. That's the beginning of all the beginnings. Kasher Hizkarti, like I said. V'lechein Tirkim V'Tarkim Yerushalmi. Oh, there it is. B'Chokhma. Because the word, the letter Beis, is a large letter. So if it's a large letter, it has the, it crowns the letter, so to speak. What is he referring to? He's referring to Inyonim of Kabbalah. There's an Oilam which begins with Keser, Chochmah, and Bina. Understanding those are Inyonim of Soid, which, you know, is a little bit outside of our realm right now.
Why is it first?
What?
What's the problem if you have all these Soids in the third book? Why
because,
does it be first?
Because first comes the Olam HaAtzilus, which is before everything. Before there's any Oretz, before the Nekudah, before the Iyuli, before everything. And that's pure spirituality. Okay, and it's condensed and lowered to reach a certain level where it begins to. We're dealing with the Olam of Metzias and Havaya, which is on the fourth level. Okay. Now, what are we up to? Okay, so you'll have to. You have the Chumash, turn a couple of pages. Oh, 1 minute. Where did I go? I'm already holding it. Lech Lecha. I must have turned too many pages at once. Oh, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Yor. Right? We got a small shtickle. Okay, Milos Amiro. What does it mean, Vayomer? So the Yomer is, it sounds like there's a Dibur. But you know, come to think of it, if you have the same Chumash like I do, it's on page Tes Zayin. Right? But Vayomer Elokim Yehi Yor. If not, you got to turn the pages a little here and there to find it. What's Vayoymer? Of course, our familiarity with Amira means we created sound waves that enter someone's ear and go zip, bing, bong, you know, and they stimulate something in the brain and they give you a message that your intellect picks up, and that's Vayoymer. So it involves a lot of human things. Right, creating these sound waves and picking them up with your ears and relaying the message to the brain and through the oral nerve and all that whole system. But of course, that's not shaykh by the Rebbein Shlom. There's nothing that he's actually the dibur that we're familiar with is a means of, is a communication. If I want to say something and tell it to you, so I'm able to communicate with you and take the ideas which begin in my mind and transfer them to your mind. And they go through a whole bunch of transformations, right? First I have to bring it down to the clay hadibur, and they have to form the vowels and the consonants and create the airwaves and create the vibrations and to make those sound waves travel from me to you, and you pick them up with this marvelous and wonderful clay hashmiya that we have. But that's all a form of communication. What does Amira mean over here? Vayoymer Elokim, to whom is Hashem Yisburach communicating? There's no Vayoymer El. So it must have a deeper form. It's the same idea, by the way. We'll see in a second. Milos Amira Bekan, Hilohoyres Al HaChefet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu desired that Oyer should come into existence. Right? Kederach Matoymer Nafshech of Eseloch. What does your nefesh say? I do it for you. So your nefesh says nothing, but it means, what does your nefesh want? Right? Matirtse, v'tachboit, what does your nefesh, what is it? The top of tirtse is third person feminine, v'tachboit, like nefesh. V'chein v'tihi usihi isho leveno doinecho kasher diber Hashem. The word kasher diber doesn't mean there's a maimer nevuah which Hashem communicates, but what Hashem wants. Good? Kasher rotzo Hashem. This is what he wants. Right? Sometimes the machshove is called amira, because actually the basis for every amira, it begins with machshove. Okay? It's a long, complicated process that takes almost instantly. There's the conversion of the machshava into the dibur, right? But sof kol sof, the basis for the dibur is machshava. In fact, the uncommunicated dibur is the machshava. And why do we even have to have the sound waves that make the communication? That's merely a way of taking my machshava and carrying it over to your brain and leaving it there. But the machshava itself is the beginning and is the essence of what I'm going to communicate to you through my dibur. You understand? The dibur is a broadcast. And it goes through a receiver. But it's the essence, the machshava. So, that's the word v'yoymer, too. K'goyin ha'oymra bilvava. V'omru alufa Yehuda b'liba. V'inyin loymer shaloy hoya ba'omel. It didn't require any construction, building work. V'chein kor rabbi senol ze machshava. Omru, right? Machshava b'yoym. And that's the Maimer Chazal that speaks about the Sheshes Imagrations. Okay, that means the whole day there's Machshava. Because the conversion of the Machshava to the elements that are described in my Sibrations, Batoit Sehor, it's Deshe, Ace of Mazria Zere, Ace Pri, Ace of Prilineu, is all that. Right? That's the conversion of the Machshava into the Yisoidus Hanavroim. That's at the end of a day of Machshava. So that the Machshava precedes the Maisa, which is, of course, the way it's supposed to happen. Vulhoyers al dover machushav, on something that's created. She is Ritam, that has reasons, that has thought, planning. Loi chefetz poshet bilvad. Okay? Chefetz poshet without any idea behind the chefetz. You know, if you ever try to do a chefetz poshet, you'll find sometimes disastrous results. You have to plan and figure out what should happen, what's the tayelis, is it harmful, is it beneficial? The chefetz and a machshav. Omilas havaya, vayihi, what does it mean, vayihi or moire al maisa hazman ha'oymed. Right? It's the present form of Zman. Zman could be past, present, future. Oymed means present. Okay? Zman ha-oymed. K'moy v'ato hevei lohem l'melech. So, hevei is to be. It's not, it was, it's not, it will be. But it's the moment of being. לכן אמר הכוסף, כי כשבור חומר השמיים אומר שיהיה בין החומר הוא דובר מזהיר, there should be a glowing substance that come from שמיים, and קורי אור, so that's cool. So ויאמר אלוקים יהי אור, and then comes the conversion of the matter into אור, which אור is the first form, okay, that's tangible of all the developments of the Yuli of Shemayim and the essence of Oret, right? The first element that's tangible is Or. Okay? And that's, you all know about it, right? In fact, when, if you think about it, I think that's it, right? You'll discover that Oir, that light as we know it and as we measure it, is the only invariable in the whole physical world. Everything else varies in relation to Oir, right? Some of you may be familiar with that. When if that happens, then you know space and time and distance and movement, all of that is relative to Oir, which is the primeval element, the first elementary element in the B'riah. Of course, in addition to the existence of Oir, naturally we have these wonderful, marvelous tools in our body, which picks up the Oir, okay, and the colors and communicates them to the brain, and we're able to examine unbelievably complex and difficult, you know, existences and events by that koyach haria, which we're able to use to pick up the communication of Oir. And stop to think of it. I mean, sometimes you sit back and marvel. The person has to be, you know, totally insensitive if he isn't shocked into surprise and marvel by just looking at the B'riah of Oir around us, and seeing how the Oir contains a limitless amount of communication. You know that the very same Oir has a certain very tiny little section of the whole spectrum of Oir, which is the visible Oir, the colors and the part that gets into our brain through the eye. But the invisible Oir, the shorter waves and the longer waves, right? That's there. We see it, we measure it, and we relate to it and pick up everything that travels through trillions of miles of space with the through the same Oir, but through, you know, longer waves and shorter waves. So the Oir saturates the entire B'riah from end to end. That's the first B'riah, and everything else relates to that B'riah. And that's how it's looked upon today by those who study it. Took them years and centuries to discover, you know, the basic emes that there is in this Yisoid. But that's how the B'riah was handed to us by the Rebbeinu Shlom, which began with Chochma, and like the Ramban said before, and every moment that we have of discovering the almost limitless Chochma that there is in the B'riah is a revelation. So, you know what a revelation means? It reveals to us what was hidden, takes off the mask, and allows us to see the depth and the wisdom and the koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu permeating and penetrating.
And the Anhel Marshem is dissipates.
What?
The Anhel Marshem is dissipates. The person's a flashlight, right? So the light will not be seen from far away. Why are we seeing it from the other parts of the universe?
Because when you have the same wavelengths, so it could go 10 million times further without dissipating. But when you have a conglomeration of all different kinds of wavelengths, they neutralize each other over a period of time and they dissipate. That's why when you have that little $2 laser beam flashlight, right? They take it out, see a half a mile away a little red dot, because they're all the same wavelength and there's no interference. If there's no interference, so it doesn't dissipate. Good.